You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I don't like saying this. You know, there are other times where people have used chemical weapons and gotten away with it, obviously, in Syria. And I think what's important here is that we strengthen the norm that if we can't stop the Russians from using it, Russia itself has to pay an enormous price for that. The Russian leadership has to, because we not only want to stop them from using it again, but we do not want the idea to gain momentum in the world that you can use these weapons of mass destruction with impunity. So whatever it is we do, it's got to be severe in terms of exacting a price.
That is a statement by a member of the Council of Foreign Affairs, Richard Haass. And he's talking about the use of gas weapons, biological weapons, nuclear weapons. And if Russia is going to use them and is using them, what is going to be the response? And what do we do to make sure he understands that was a line you should never have crossed? I think it has to begin with Putin fearing Biden. And I don't think he does. March 14, 2022. Glad to have you back on board. We are not live streaming at Larry Connors USA YouTube because still again, they continue to block us out because of something I said a week or so ago, referenced the election, raising questions, and discussing how much of the election of 2020 was valid. You're just not allowed to have freedom of speech on big tech companies. Now, of course, there may come a time that they'll do a 180 on that, just like they did with any reference at all that was taking place for COVID. Remember when you couldn't say anything about COVID? If it didn't meet their criteria, you couldn't say it came from Wuhan. You couldn't say that the vaccines might not work. You couldn't say there might be a fear of the vaccines. All of that would get you banned as well. Well, they're the least of my concerns right now. My concern is what's happening in Ukraine, and I'm sure it's got you. And, of course, it hits home here with a gas pump and escalation in prices and inflation and the blood being spilled in Ukraine continues. And note this story. At least 30 missiles were fired from war planes and hit a military base just a dozen miles from the Polish border. A dozen miles. That's how close. They're now hitting targets in western Ukraine. Since the start of the invasion, Feb 24, they've been mostly targeting eastern Ukraine, but now they're beginning to, after they move on Kiev, they're also targeting more western areas and the escape routes. And keep in mind, this all started because Putin was convinced that NATO was going to make Ukraine a member of NATO. And if it were, we would have no option. Under Article 5 of NATO, we would have to go and help defend Ukraine, which would put boots on the ground. We don't have any boots on the ground there, but we do have them in Poland. And these airstrikes, just a dozen miles from the Polish border, the fog of war, one miscalculation, one piece of information put in on a log onto where to hit, and you've got American troops in danger as well as Polish citizens. Going to be joined later today by my guest, Stephen Bryan, Center for Security Policy. He says if there can be peace talks, maybe they're going to hold them in Israel. Well, we'll have to find out that's going to happen. Also, the Democrats are admitting at their Pennsylvania annual gathering, we've got a big problem coming up at midterm. No kidding. And Biden continues to insist, do not blame me for inflation and gas prices. In fact, he says, I'm absolutely tired of it. I'm tired of you blaming me. It's not my fault. It's not your fault? Of course not. It's Putin since the Ukraine invasion. Oh, no. No, no, no. From the very beginning, when Biden went in and shut down the Keystone Pipeline, shut down oil and gas leases, and started saying we're going to be energy, not independent, but we're going to get rid of fossil fuels, it's his fault. We got a lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'm sick of this stuff. We have to talk about it because the American people think the reason for inflation is government spending more money. Simply not true. Make no mistake, inflation is largely the fault of Putin. Democrats didn't cause this problem. Vladimir Putin did, and we are working on to fix it.
Yeah, there he is. Mister, don't point the finger at me. It's not me. It's not me. It's Putin. Has Biden taken credit for anything that's wrong in America? Oh, of course not, Larry. You stupid fool, you asked a question like that. Yeah, I did. I did. I wasted what brain cells I have and bothered you and your time and day and asking if Biden's taken any responsibility. And no, he has not. And do not hold your breath until he does, because otherwise somebody better call 911. Biden has no intention of changing his strategy, despite what they're seeing is coming. See, this last weekend, they finally got together for their midterm campaign rally among the Democrats. And, of course, Ukraine has to be right in front of them. And we're going to spend most of the next hour on Ukraine, and later in this hour, I'm going to be joined by Stephen Bryan, the Center for Security Policy, talking about the possibility that maybe peace talks could originate in Israel. And believe me, it's at a point now we need to do something. The bombings of hospitals, maternity wards over the weekend continuing. And as one reporter on the scene said, it is as if Putin is out to bring a nation of 40 million to its knees, if not their graves. So aside from that, the Democrats are just trying to look away from it, and they will use it only as an excuse for how bad the economy is right now. You do know the facts. You know the facts. And see, the facts are a nasty, nasty thing for Democrats and the state-controlled media. Because when you get into facts, it gets kind of hard to argue some of these points. It gets extremely difficult. Because the facts are just those darn nasty things that keep getting in your way of what you want to say. So let's just look at gas prices. Just look at that. Now, again, I'm going to state the Democrat case for them. Don't buy it, but I'll state it for them. Biden says it. I'm tired of being blamed. It's not me. It's not me. I'll let you hear that again in a few moments. But here we go. The average U.S. price for regular grade gas went up 79 cents over the last 2 weeks. 79 cents in 2 weeks. Yesterday, it was recorded at $4.43 per gallon. That's 32 cents exceeding the prior all-time high of $4.11 set back in July 2008. 2008, you saw gas at $4.11 per gallon. Now it's at $4.43. Friday, it was Friday. I passed the service station, and I noticed they had up there $4.10 per average. Well, I needed some gas. I started pulling there, and I thought, well, I'll go on down because it's going to be a little hard for me to cross the street, get over there, and get back. So there's one on down the road. I'll go down there. I get down there, and it's $4.19. Well, I'm not going to drive back for 9 cents. I'll just go ahead and pull in, pay the extra 9 cents at that point, $4.19. But I've run the fuel down again, so I'm probably going to, this time, I'll make sure I go to the other one, unless they've also raised theirs now. The industry analyst of the Lundberg survey said the new price is still quite a ways from the inflation-adjusted record high. Hold on to your steering wheel if you're driving. Hold tight. He's predicting the inflation adjusted will be $5.24 per gallon, average, regular. And, of course, most consumers are pointing directly at Joe Biden and his policies. And I know you've seen the stickers on some, and you probably put some of them up there, didn't you? Some of those stickers that have a smiling Joe Biden, and he's pointing at the gas price. Right up, they stick a sticker right up on the pump, and it says, there's Joe Biden saying, I did that, as if he's smiling and everything. Oh, he did it all right. He did that. I'm looking at this one where it's posted on a service station. For 18 gallons of gas, I'll be more accurate, 18.212 gallons of gas, the cost is $63. You're probably like many of us, say, pump it to right till they get an even number in 63. That, okay, I got enough gas. I got as much as I can get in, and I want to stop it at $63. $63. Stop and think about that for a second. There are folks out there, and many of us are blessed enough. Pardon me. Many of us are blessed enough that we don't really have to worry about the price of gas. I mean, we don't like paying it higher, but we're going to need it. We're going to pull in. We're going to get it. We're going to pay whatever's there. I want you to recount and remember again, you're being blessed that you don't have to worry about it. There are others who have to have a severe concern about it. Do I just buy $10 worth? Will it get me from pump number one to pump five? At least to get off the lot of the service station, or do I need a little bit more to get me on home? And then what am I going to do about groceries and the kids and what their needs are? Especially if you're a single parent. We should not be in this situation. And the Democrats, of course, continue to say, we didn't do it. Despite that sticker on the pump that shows Joe Biden pointing at it, saying, I did that, I did it. Pennsylvania Senator, Republican Toomey says the public is not fooled.
Gas prices were up 40% before Vladimir Putin got anywhere close to the Ukrainian border. The people aren't going to fall for this nonsense. And by the way, I think I've figured out what the administration's energy policy is. They're pleading with Maduro and Venezuela to increase production. They're probably about to reach a deal with Iran where there'll be more Iranian oil coming to the market. They're trying to get the Saudis and the Emiratis to take their call. So I guess the policy is we want to burn a lot more energy just as long as it's not American. It's unbelievable.
Is that not truly unbelievable? Excuse me one second. All right, I'm back. I'm sorry. I've been rushing around all day and just didn't take care of my throat. Just a little thing. I appreciate you putting up with it. But Senator Toomey saying, look, we are willing to buy gas from other countries that are going to be a dirtier gasoline than we would produce here. And on top of that, if we buy it from Venezuela, we are, in effect, still supporting Russia. So you're going to shut off the Russian oil coming in, which now we supposedly have done. I say supposedly. I always look for loopholes anytime the Democrat, this administration tells me something. There's got to be a loophole somewhere. But if they're buying it from Venezuela, that money is also communist, Marxist marked. So Senator Pat Toomey says the public's not fooled by all of this. And the public's not fooled to the extent that it's beginning to be a big concern for Democrats, and they know it. This weekend in Philadelphia, they had their House Democrats retreat. The head of the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee, Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney. Hey, his day is coming up, St. Patty's Day. Democrat in New York said in a statement, according to the Washington Post, the problem is not the voters. The problem is us. He laid it out on the line, didn't he? He said they think we're divisive and too focused on cultural issues. No kidding. No kidding? Of course that's what you guys have been doing. They think that we're preachy. Yes, we do. They think that we act like we know better than parents when it comes to their kids in schools. Yes, that's exactly not only what we think, but we see your palm print on our kids. So Maloney and the party want to focus on Joe Biden and embrace Biden's style. What is Biden's style? Mostly follow wherever the progressives lead him by the nose. But Maloney is pretty sure, and I'm quoting again from that article, Maloney said, again, this is Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat in New York. He said, Biden is that person that in many ways we need to become. If there's a kid with a stutter, the president's going to fall over him, all over him. If there's a cop or a firefighter who's had a tough time, Joe Biden's going to wrap his arm around him. All of this stuff? Do you believe all that? I mean, this is back to the days of Bill Clinton when a young woman was complaining about how bad inflation and prices were then. He said, I feel your pain. I feel your pain. They don't feel your pain. But they don't mind you suffering some more. And Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, said it goes all the way to the very guy that Maloney wants them to duplicate and think that that would be their salvation, Joe Biden. Are you kidding? And, of course, his spokeswoman, Saski, still, as Senator Graham says, watch her nose grow longer and longer.
She needs to quit lying. She needs to quit lying to the American people that the reason we don't have more oil and gas here at home is because of the oil companies. She needs to quit being disingenuous about the pipeline. If it didn't make a difference, why would people spend billions of dollars to build it? They're dishonest when they say production in America is being impeded because the oil companies don't want to go and find oil. They found a lot of oil when Trump was president. What happened between energy independence to now is that the policies of the Biden administration have stopped domestic production. Biden ran against the fossil fuel industry in the campaign. So are you surprised his policies have led to us not being able to produce oil? So when they say it's the oil company's policies holding us back, they're lying.
They're lying, flat out lying. And again, back to remarks of Congressman Maloney. Republicans are running an ad in his district because he's up for re-election as well. The ads are saying Maloney and Biden crippled American energy production. Now, there's your fact. Another Democrat in a purple seat, Congresswoman Susan Wild of Pennsylvania, skipped the conference. She skipped the conference in her own home state with the president there. She skipped it. She said, I got a lot of work to do. I don't have time to go talk to other people and the Democrats, and we're not accomplishing anything. And in fact, former New York Democrat Max Rose, now running an attempt to win his old seat back, the one defeated by AOC, is also trashing part of the program from the DCC, the Democrat, National Democrats. He said when it comes to National Democrats, they're not going to win this race. They can only lose it. Time and again, they come into this race with high-powered consultants and have absolutely no knowledge of what's going on. So most vulnerable Democrats, if they're running at all, they're running away from Biden while Maloney is trying to say we need to be more like him. And then we have Biden coming up next on another issue. You do not want to miss that one. Stand by, please. I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottner Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottler, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottler.com, Rottler Pest Solution.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The idea that we're going to send in offensive equipment and have planes and tanks and trains going in with American pilots and American crews. Just understand, and don't kid yourself, no matter what you all say, that's called World War III.
That is Joe Biden at the Pennsylvania Democrat House Caucus meeting, trying to gear up more support for the midterm elections coming up. Nobody I know, conservative, independent, Democrat, wants boots on the ground in Ukraine. The question about the no-fly zone is a delicate issue. Some reports indicate that even if we participated in a no-fly zone, it's not really so much the Russian jets that are causing the damage in Ukraine as opposed to artillery and long-range missiles. But if you have a no-fly zone and you don't enforce it, then it means nothing. So keep in mind, the idea was, it was that Poland was going to give its fleet of MiGs, something like 40 or less, to the Ukrainians, who were familiar with them, and they would fly them. Well, they would not stand much of a chance against most newer Russian fighters, but they would be doing something. And they have been effective. They have brought down Russian fighters over Ukraine. Between them and artillery and Patriot missiles, things of that nature, Javelin missiles, so forth, have been used. They've used them against tanks, planes, everything. But to make sure that Poland had what it's needed, we were going to supply newer jets to Poland. that seemed like it might be a good idea overall, but then the Pentagon decided that might be an escalation, as seen by Russia. And so we just took it off the table and said we're not going to do it. Well, that is another open door for Putin. We have already supplied Ukraine with various military equipment, medical supplies, and so forth. We started shipping them before the war started, but we were really late in that anyway. If we had already included in that, sent in planes that were already on the ground when the Russians first came across the border, then Russians could complain that we're complicit, but hey, we sold them to them and they're using them. We're not doing it. They've already paid for them. That's theirs. Do what they want. The Biden administration, in my opinion, has been too late with everything it moves forward on. They were buying the story that Putin was selling that we're just up here forming our troops in Belarus, carrying out military games. And, of course, he had made it clear, I don't want NATO coming in here. I don't want NATO to move in and make Ukraine part of NATO, which would then involve U.S. forces. Well, now there's stories coming out of NATO that we were never seriously considering putting Ukraine in. If that's true, why was that statement not made in a declarative, emphatic statement? NATO is not even looking at admitting Ukraine. Maybe that would have held Putin off. He still wants to expand, but maybe that would not have brought in the incursion. And maybe if Joe Biden had not made the remark, well, you know, if it's a minor incursion, then we'll deal with it. Well, a minor incursion means you left your window unlocked, we can come through the window, and now we'll come through the door too. Oh, well, that means we'll come through the attic. I've got a guest coming up with the Center for Security Policy. And he's saying if there's going to be a peace, there's a chance that maybe we could get some peace talks started. And he's suggesting that while the time is running out, maybe we can get something going through Israel. I want you to hear his thoughts on this. God knows we need help from somewhere. Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My guest, Stephen Bryan, is a senior official with the Center for Public Safety, Security Safety, I'm sorry. Let me get the title right. My bad on that. It's Center for Security Policy. But I want to share with you briefly a couple points about him you might not have heard. Morally Safer, when he was with CBS program 60 Minutes, said, Dr. Bryan was the Pentagon's top cop, the man whose job it was to ensure sensitive technology would be kept from enemies, potential enemies, and questionable allies. And Time magazine said he is the Yoda of the arms trade. He knows every sinkhole in the regulatory swamp. Ignore him at your peril. Those are pretty strong comments. Stephen Bryan, glad to have you back on board with us, sir.
Nice to be with you.
I took a high interest in a piece that you put out just the other day about how there might be a chance to have a peace talk, and if so, it might be in Israel. Before we get there, we just had, of course, as you well know, Russian missiles, 30 of them at least, hit near a military area, I'm sorry, in a regional area about 12 miles in Ukraine, but 12 miles from the Polish border.
That's right.
That is dangerously close. Somebody put in a wrong GPS notation. You got one into Poland.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. It could very well happen. Yeah.
And but, then, of course, we have the argument still going on about no-fly zone, and I was discussing it with the audience previously, that what we were going to do is kind of walk around it by doing a three-way swap. The MiGs from Poland go to Ukraine, and we supply Poland with jets, and then that got put to a stop. What is your take on that?
Well, that's part of the reason why the Russians bombed that base in Lviv. That's 12 miles from the Polish border. They're taking out the route that armaments could get to the Ukrainian army and air force. That's the whole idea.
All right. So the other thing is, I'd mentioned before you joined us, and this came out Friday, but it didn't get a lot of attention, that the NATO Secretary General said that Ukraine's NATO membership was never imminent. It's been clear for a long time membership for Ukraine was not something that was imminent, may not be relevant in the near future at all. It would be up to the NATO allies to decide whether to admit Ukraine had a right to apply. So if that had been emphatically stated to Putin, would that have stopped all of this?
It might have. It might have. But Stoltenberg is one of the guys that was throwing gasoline on the fire. Stoltenberg's the head of the NATO command.
And in what way did he do that?
Well, because he kept saying that we want Ukraine in NATO.
Yes. I'm glad you said it. He kept saying that at the same time then saying, but it was never imminent.
Well, what's imminent mean?
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning, the day after? I mean, the Russians don't believe anything this guy says. I kind of don't blame him.
So let's talk about the possibility of peace. And I mean, in the last reports I'm seeing here, the UN reports more than 2.8 million have fled Ukraine.
Yeah.
The death count, the latest death count into the thousands, so many are missing, they're being buried in mass graves. And you point out in your article, for every bomb destroying a beautiful and historic city, Putin puts nails into the coffin of his Ukraine invasion. Go ahead, sir.
Well, that's right, because what he's doing is he's creating an implacable enemy of the Ukrainian people. And he has to live with them forever. So I don't get it. I mean, I think this is a very bad move by him. And he's attacking civilian infrastructure and apartment buildings and schools and churches and every other damn thing. I mean, it's a scorched earth policy trying to get the Ukrainians to concede, but they're not going to concede that way.
All right. So we know even in Russia, there are hundreds of thousands demonstrating, and thousands have been arrested by the Russian police. They don't want to be involved in this. Many of the troops, the conscripts that were in Ukraine, are coming in from Belarus, I should say. They were saying, we didn't know we were going to war. We thought this is just a military maneuver drill. So his own people have turned against it.
Well, I don't know how widespread it is. That's a hard thing to know because, they have a lot of censorship in Russia.
But the more bombing of civilians and hospitals, does that not, you think, incite more bad reactions?
Well, I think it gets around. I mean, nowadays people talk on their cell phones, and Putin shut down social media, but he hasn't shut down the cell phones. And so the word gets around. People understand what's going on, and they don't like it. But Putin is, he's on a real rant in Iraq today, about an hour ago. He had a 90-minute conversation with the Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, and it didn't go well. It went very badly.
That was Putin talking to him.
That was Putin,
right.
That's right.
Yeah.
So earlier, last night, Bennett spoke to Zelensky at length. And Bennett's acting as a kind of pass-through. And then he talked to Putin today for an hour and a half. Putin was, just complaining about everything. The Ukrainians are slaughtering people in Donetsk and stuff like that, which I don't think is true. But instead of trying to address the issue of finding a deal here and getting this war over with, he was very difficult. I was very disappointed in what I heard from Bennett just a little while ago.
And the key point here is that you wrote this article that in advance of the talk Bennett had with Zelensky and, of course, then with Putin. And at that time, you thought that might actually be a crack emerging in this horrific war. Is it sealed shut?
I don't know. This morning, the Russians said they had made they had some negotiations with the at lower level negotiations with the Ukrainians this morning, and they said there was some, you know, they were getting down to business and some things were being accomplished, which I thought was really good news. I was very surprised by Putin's call with Bennett, and I don't understand it at this point.
And Bennett, of course, is the current Israeli prime minister. Yep,
that's right. Yes. So it was a big setback. If we understand it correctly, and Bennett's letting us know what he knows, then it's Putin's war. I mean, he just wants to pursue this war.
I have to ask this. And again, Bennett, of course, is prime minister because he defeated Netanyahu. But they're going to be coming up for election again. Do you think Netanyahu would be able to work with Putin better than Bennett? I mean, much like Trump with Putin as opposed to Biden with it? I mean, there's something in the mix of the personalities that would make some change?
I don't know. I mean, the only thing I can tell you, you know, first of all, I think that Bennett's done a very good job.
You think he has, is it, all right?
Yes, I do. Okay. I do think he's done a great job.
Okay.
And Netanyahu would do a great job. The only difference that I can detect is I think Putin was afraid of Netanyahu.
Yeah.
He doesn't know Bennett well enough to be afraid of him. But beyond that, I think they're pretty much the same peas and pods, you know.
Now,
so it's going to be real difficult. I mean, because I think, Putin stays with this position. It's going to be very difficult.
Is there a way for him to get out and save face and say, we accomplished what we wanted and we're done and everybody pull back? I mean, the word just crossed that Russia could default on its debt maybe by Wednesday or Thursday. It has the money, it just doesn't have access to it anymore.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, that's up to the, you know, world financial institutions where they want to go and how they want to handle it. I really don't know enough about that, but it's not going to be good news for inside Russia, where the ruble is collapsing and where the banks are frozen. People can't get their money out. ATMs are closed down. I mean, it's a modern country now in many ways. And, they're going to really feel it, really feel it.
To the that fact, I noted the other day that McDonald's, you know, is shutting down its operations, but saying it would be paying its employees. I'm thinking, how are you going to do that? How are you going to get anything to them? If you're making a direct deposit, I don't know how that's going to – they can't access it.
Unless they have rubles in Russia, they're not going to.
Yeah, and what's it going to be worth at that point?
Nothing.
What is your take?
Maybe not even a cheeseburger.
Yeah. Well, that's going up in price too, of course. But
yeah.
What is hold the pickles? You might save some money very quickly. What is your thought on the remark that Senator Graham made the other day that the Russians are going to have to solve this? Somebody inside the inner circle has to basically take Putin out.
I don't think that way. I mean, I don't approve of those kind of comments. I don't think that's what.
But did we not want? We wanted that to happen with Hitler, and the generals were trying to carry it out. I personally am in favor.
You don't say it in public.
Okay, all right. That's you'll make that difference. I understand. Listen, I was hoping that when we got you on today, these talks should be starting. But now, as you said, didn't go well on the prior conversations.
Well, I think that we're at a stall. I don't know what Putin's waiting for. I don't know if he knows what he's waiting for.
Good point. But, good point. As always, sir, glad to have you on board, and I appreciate your time.
My pleasure indeed. Take care.
Yes, sir. We'll do it again. Stephen Bryan, Center for Security Policy. Coming up, how we could have more issues on our plate than we want. If you want to impress someone, I personally recommend Cafe Napoli, Clayton, our town and country, or St. Charles. Cafe Napoli offers private rooms for up to 50 guests. So plan a corporate party, an anniversary party, a birthday party, a party party. Cafe Napoli has a location near you, Clayton, Town and Country, and St. Charles, where Cafe Napoli 3 is now serving lunch or Sunday brunch, only at Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles.
Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So, what have you heard about COVID lately? No, not much, right? It just disappeared. It just went away. Everybody is no longer having to wear a mask. Well, I take it back. TSA still requires you must wear them on passenger planes at least for another month, which makes no sense whatsoever because they have HEPA filters on board those planes. They circulate the air 20 to 30 times per minute. Two CEOs of various airlines have said, you just don't need them on board a plane. And, of course, then there's the other thing. Are we just going to walk away and forget all this? I hope to hell not. I hope we continue to look at it and dig deeper into it. I'm amazed, not amazed, but got a chuckle out of a note I got from Boots on the Ground, Andrew in Chicago, say, no more Dr. Fate? Wonder where he's gone. Put his photo on a milk carton. I agree. That is a concern. My gosh, what's happened to him? Well, let me see. We have Ukraine. We have gas prices going up. We have everything he acknowledged has been blown out of the water and saying it never had to be that way. Johns Hopkins said that draconian lockdown was unnecessary and reduced mortality rate by 0.02%, 0.02%, and at the same time wrecking the economy, harming our children. We all knew that. And we also knew that it was being used as a tool and a weapon against those who were simply trying to get along with their lives. I'm not anti-vax. I'm for you having whatever you choose that you want, and it should be available. The plus thing that came out of it, Trump, when he authorized warp speed, meant that we could cut a lot of the FDA red tape and get drugs to people immediately. Now, I don't want to cut safety. And if you had any doubt, then you should be allowed to say, I don't think so. Let's wait and see how it goes. But everyone admits, they have to admit, they don't have any other option. They have to admit, we had no long-term knowledge of any vaccine that's been given. Any. 2 years max when we started them out, and then really 1 year max when we started giving them out just as Trump left office, so a little over 1 year. And we have had numerous cases of deaths or illnesses or problems supposedly linked to it. We don't know for a fact. I told you that I have gotten both shots, ended up getting a booster because I had promised my children I would. And a few weeks ago, suddenly I'm having trouble with my legs and a little vertigo that comes. I cannot link it to that. But all I know is I hear other people having similar things, and some have had true health issues, enlarged hearts, breathing difficulties. And then you got the children. Children that had been basically ordered they had to get the COVID shots, and or the parents got convinced they're going to make sure they get them. And they're only authorized to age 5, and they're still experimental, believe me. Because, again, we don't have any long-term effect. We don't have any long-term knowledge. And then for pregnant women, I cannot repeat this enough. I know for those of you who listen to this program, you're thinking, is he going down that road again? Yes, I am, because I'm concerned about the health of future babies. And women who are pregnant were told, do not drink, do not smoke, do not do drugs, but take this drug, take this shot. For you and your baby. It's going to go right to the fetus. Pray to God it does not cause issues down the road. Pray to God the kids that we're giving it to now, that 20 years down the road, they don't have some strange ailments come up. Or a generation after these kids, then their children or grandchildren have something that could all be linked back to this because one of the doctors overseeing mRNA production for some of these drugs say it is changing DNA, seeing evidence of it in the kidney and elsewhere. I know it's hard to stay on top and it's going to be a matter of Groucho Marx, who do you trust? You need to trust yourself and your doctor, and hopefully that information will be adequate. That's all I'm saying. If there's a drug available that you want, it's great being used somewhere else in some other country, then you should be able to get it here, and we should stop the FDA red tape from blocking you. Or that you had to go to Europe or some southern Central American country to get what you could be able to get here. It's your choice. Your choice. Choice got lost in the shuffle there. Dictators don't give choices. Coming up in the next hour, more on what's happening with Ukraine and chemical weapons and the danger that comes.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.